Fountain of Life Church, and some of you know many of them there. They actually, I forget how many it was that went with the South Dakota trip to the reservation. A whole bunch of them went out there, and the ladies were here not too long ago. So they love Life Tree. In fact, many of them wanted to come. I said, no, you got to stay home. And so praise God. We've just been blessed recently by the Word of God. There's just been a love for His Word just rekindled in our hearts. And understanding the power and the authority of the Word of God. And as you apply it and walk in it, how it's transferred into your life and my life. And we're just so blessed. So pray with me, if you will, as we open up the Word. Father, we just thank You once again for the Word of God. We thank You that Your Word that You speak is spirit and it's life. And it's meant, Lord, to be walked in and lived out and experienced and applied to our lives. And that just as it says in the Gospel of John, that the Word became flesh in Jesus. Lord, that we get to flesh out the very Word of God through our lives. What an awesome thing. So, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask that You bless it today, that we'd receive it in our hearts, that Lord, it would be spoken in a way that is truly Your Word and Your heart to Your people. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, yes, one of my good friends from Mexico is going to be here soon, isn't he? Pastor Octavio. And Pastor Octavio Torres from Merida, Mexico. He's actually an overseer of many different works there and really a regional pastor. Some call it apostolic, but to avoid misunderstanding of what that is, he's just I call him a regional pastor, and he pours into a lot of lives of other pastors there and raises up works around. I had the opportunity of going and planting churches with him a few times, and it was interesting. Actually, one we planted down in Playa del Carmen when we planted the church, installed the pastor, and that's where I tried to speak my Spanish, and I got myself in trouble. And so from then on, I was warned that I cannot speak Spanish again in Mexico, or I'd be deported. So anyway, you'll have a lot of fun with Pastor Octavio when he comes. I guess it's next Sunday. Wow, that's coming up quickly. And his wife Sylvia, you're going to love her as well. And so that's great. Yeah, anything else I have to say over there? So I do all this, Lord, let me be free to speak Your Word, but he won't let me free from, you know. Just won't do that. I don't know. So praise God. Praise God. You know, there's a verse that's been meaning a lot to us lately, and out of 2 Timothy 1:5, and Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, you know, I hear of, when it comes back to my remembrance, your genuine faith. You know, that he's thanking God that Timothy has a genuine faith. Some versions use it as an unqualified faith. You know, when you qualify faith, it's not faith anymore. You've diluted it so bad. When you have to take the Word of God and filter it through your circumstances, your understandings, you know, your experiences, and then apply it and say, okay, well, I can believe this. You know, do you ever have someone said, well, I've got faith enough to believe this? You know, I remember praying for somebody and it was a young child, and the mother says, you know, I'm praying, Lord, just remove this cancer, you know, heal this young child, take the tumor out of the head. I'm just going all for it because I know that's what God does. And the mother stopped me. She says, I can believe that God can save her life and help her. Can we just pray that far? And you know what happened? The Lord saved her life and helped her. She's alive today. She's what? How old's Tori? Probably 20 years old now. She graduated. She's, you know, and but she had to. She lived through a lot of different things that she had to be treated for and so on. But the Lord gave her exactly what she believed. Qualifying faith. I said, Lord, help me not to feel that I've got to qualify. That I can take your word as it's written, believe it, and apply it. You see? That's the power of that. In Hebrews 4, it says that you know, the writer's talking about a people that heard the same gospel. They heard the word just like we did. But it didn't profit them. You guys know the scripture. You know the word I'm talking about. They didn't profit them. Why? Because those that heard that word didn't mix it with faith. Okay? So the word of God became, it didn't profit them. It became powerless. It didn't accomplish what it could have done in their lives because it wasn't mixed with a faith. They just didn't believe it. Remember when they came to Jesus, the disciples, and they said, what can we do the works of God and the works of the kingdom? And he says, believe, you know? And then some of them said, well, okay, that's good. What are you going to do for us so that we can see something that we can believe? You see, that's qualifying it. They wanted to be able to measure it. They wanted to be able to taste it and test it themselves within their own mind and concept. But Paul writes that the natural mind cannot comprehend the things of God. It never will. That we have to just take faith. We have to take the word of God and walk it out. You know, I was looking. I've got a lot of different things. I'm just going to follow. Is that okay if I follow the prompting of the Spirit of God? You know, I just, you know, some people, when they prepare for a message, you know, they get on a topic and they come up with all of their, you know, list of things and their points that they do. And I can do all of that. I've been trained to do that, you know, but God doesn't work that way with me. I just spend time with Him and I focus on Him and I pray and I fast and I just fill myself with the Word of God, you know, and then maybe during worship, you know, He'll prompt me a few things, and that's why I like using the iPad, because I can quickly put it there, you know. And then as I'm speaking, I just let the Lord prompt me and what to say and what to speak. Is that okay? And so we'll do that this morning, and we'll go from there. But anyway, talking about faith, unqualified, just believing and trusting God for our faith. And Hebrews says that the word of God, as powerful it is and as awesome as it is, and as the scripture says, it will not return void. It will accomplish what God has said it would do. And even with all of that, for us to gain the benefit and walk in the benefit and the power of it, we have to mix it with faith. And Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, I am happy to remember and hear about your genuine faith. Genuine faith. Faith that hasn't gone through my filter of my mind, that I've just received it from God, and I've just walked in what the Word of God says and walked it out. And Paul said, Timothy, that's great. I'm excited for you. And I see that is in you, you see. And so anyway, the disciples were talking to Jesus, and they were asking him about John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 11, 14. And so they're asking him, and Jesus said, you know, what Jesus said about John the Baptist, amongst all men there's no greater than John the Baptist. But he said the least in the kingdom is greater than him. But here he says, when they ask him about John the Baptist, he says, if you can receive this, John the Baptist is Elijah. That's what it says. You can read it. It says, if you can receive this, in other words, if you can really believe this, that Matthew chapter 11, 14, he is Elijah who is to come. So what was he saying about John the Baptist? We know John the Baptist, if you read in the Gospel of John, that he was a forerunner of Christ. He was to speak forth and hail the coming of the Lord Jesus. And what he did. What did John the Baptist do? He went out in the desert, you know, and called people to repent. And he would pull them into the Jordan, and he would baptize them in a river for the forgiveness of sin. Now, to us, that's okay, that's great, that sounds good. But at that time, it was totally against the whole religious system. Because how was forgiveness of sin found in that day? They had to go to the high priest. They had to bring an animal. They had to sacrifice him on the altar. You see? But here's John the Baptist saying, hey, come on out here to me. Okay? And repent for the forgiveness of your sin. And he would put them down in the water. Right? Which is symbolizing them dying to the old. And he'd raise them up out of the water, symbolizing that they're alive to a new life. You see, John the Baptist was walking out prophetically what he knew in his heart that he heard from God. It was a prophetic act. That's why Jesus said, if you can receive it, this is Elijah. Okay, this is prophetic. John the Baptist was walking out in his day prophetically. John is a prophet. We know that. We heard that before. And what made him a prophet is because what was imparted in his heart by God, that he knew that Jesus was the Messiah, that he knew the gospel was poured into his heart, and he knew that forgiveness of sins would come from the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he went out and he began baptizing before Jesus even came on the scene. He began to walk out what he knew, the Word of God. He began to, by faith, walk in the Word. And as he did that, many came out. And it totally disrupted the whole region. But they were coming and they were being baptized for the forgiveness of their sin. And you wonder, well, was that right? Well, it was right enough for Jesus himself, the Son of God, God himself in the flesh, came and said, I'm going to be baptized. And John said, whoa, I can't do that. He said, hey, for now, this is how it is. You baptize me. And so Jesus himself stepped into the water and was baptized. You see, faith is awesome. Faith is not a sentence, you know, that says, okay, if you're going to be a believer, you have to live by faith. Doggone it. No, faith is an incredible opportunity. Hebrews says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And he goes on to write that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because you've got to believe in him before you can come to him and realize that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But as we step out in faith, see, a lot of people are sitting there saying, okay, I read the word, I believe the word, I'm waiting for it to happen. Wrong. What do you mean? What are you waiting for it to happen? It is. It is. You see, we had a conference, and one of the themes of it was faith. And there was a verse used, Hebrews 11:1, saying, and it says, now faith is. And it goes on, substance of things, hope for evidence of things unseen. But now faith is. The other day, I was with a young man that was struggling. And we were, you know, talking and discussing this whole thing about faith. You know, how do I walk in faith? How do I translate from what I read, and I really believe it, to where I own it in my own life and I can walk it out and live in it? How many know that that's what it's all about? You see, because I don't know you about you, but I'm convinced that the God I serve is a living God. That he is alive, that he is active. When I pray, he hears my prayers. When I ask him, he hears me and he answers. When I believe in him, that he is faithful and he accomplishes what he promises to me. Like Paul says, I know who I believe in, and I know that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Even though I haven't seen it happen yet, he has a promise and he will keep good on that promise. Amen? That's the God that I serve. I serve a God that's involved in my life every moment of the day. I listen to hear his voice. He says, my sheep hear his voice. It is your right as a child of God to hear the voice of God. And you might say, well, is it an audible voice? No, it's a voice that speaks in your inner man that you just know, you hear, and you begin to learn and understand what that is and how to follow it. And the more that you're obedient, the more that you can hear. That's how it works. But anyhow, I believe that. I believe in a God that is alive and active in my life. And faith allows me to activate it. Just as John the Baptist. Do you have a drink there? John the Baptist, how he had to walk out what he believed before he saw it happen. Before Jesus died on the cross to provide that salvation that allows us to die to our old and live to our new, John the Baptist was walking it out in the River Jordan. Okay? That's what he was doing. And that's what the Lord is looking for with us. For us to believe. That's why he said the work of the kingdom is to believe. Because if you believe, what are you going to do? You're going to do what you believe. Right? It's simple. But this young man, that's what I was talking about. This young man, we were talking about faith. And I said, you got to grasp this thing. This thing about now faith is. You got to grasp it. And he said, well, Pastor Pete, how do I grasp that? You know, and I'm like, well, you just got to believe. Forget, you know, some people process stuff so much in their head, you know, that I'm glad I don't have that problem. Some people think I should do a little more. But, you know, I'm blessed, you know. Anyhow, so we're talking about this, and I read him that verse and everything. So we decided we're hungry. We stopped at a Chinese food place. So we go in and we eat the buffet, and it was good. But at the end of it, you know, they give you your little fortune cookies, and I don't mess with them. I don't do that. It's just me. I'm not saying you shouldn't or whatever. It's just that's a fortune thing. I don't want to go to a fortune teller, right? And it's just a personal conviction. I don't mess with it. Well, this young guy didn't have the same conviction, so he opens it up and he reads it and he stops dead in his tracks. He couldn't believe what he was reading. He said, Pastor Pete, you got to read this. I said, I don't got my glasses. I don't want to touch the thing. You know, I'm not really that crazy about it. But anyway, so he reads it and he said, and it says this, it says, some believe that faith is for some time in the future. But some believe that faith now is. I thought he was going to fall over right there. You know, here you got this fortune teller thing, and you got these heathens, right? They don't believe in God, and they're making up all this stuff, and they're putting it in there. You know, how did God arrange all of that? You know, how did God, you know, do all of that? He's God, that's right. And he's involved in every aspect of our lives. David said, if I descend to the very depths of hell, he's there. You know, we get this concept that we think, well, unless we're good, and maybe in church we know God's there, you know, but, you know, or maybe if I've done good and I've helped the poor and so on, God's with me. No, God is with you 24/7 all the time. If you've asked him and allowed him into your life, he is faithful and he has come and he is there and he's with you all the time. But, you know, the Lord was driving this home to this young man that faith now is. See, when you catch that concept, many of us have that idea that, you know, I believe in faith that someday. Well, how about making today the day? Amen. Sometime. How about this being the time? You know, how about stepping into it just as John the Baptist did? You know, he could have waited and let Jesus do it on this thing on the cross or whatever. But John was like, no way, this thing is burning like fire in my bones. I got to do this thing. You know, come on out here. Come, let's go into the river, you know, and let's baptize. Let's do this thing. Let's act out what we know to be true so that we can own it. Remember what God said to Abraham? He said, every place that you put the sole of your foot, I've given you. He told him, Abraham, I'm going to give you a land and I'm going to give you a people. But Abraham had to go put his foot on it. You know, Abraham had to walk it out, you see. And some people say, well, wait a minute, aren't you talking about works? You know, no, I'm talking about faith works. You know, I'm not talking about earning my salvation by works. I'm not talking about earning the favor of God by my works. What I'm actually reversing it. I'm not starting with the work to accomplish something in my heart. I'm talking about a work that is motivated by a faith that I believe in my God. That's why faith is so important. Faith motivates us to the works of God. And we know that, as the scripture says, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the Word of God produces faith. Just like when Peter heard Jesus, you know, when he was in the boat over the storm. And Jesus said, First Peter says, if that's you, Jesus, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. And the word that Jesus spoke, right, produced the faith within Peter to walk right over his problem. I believe the Lord wants people in here to walk over their problems. You know, we've been messing with problems long enough. You know, I mean, we put up with stuff in our lives long enough. I want you to know that we have a God that is a now God. And we have a God that produces within those he loves a genuine faith. You heard it said in the scripture that God said he's going to give you a heart to know him. Okay, part of that process of giving you a heart and renewing your heart to know him and follow him is this thing called faith. And you got to understand that faith is a now thing. Yes, we have a hope for the future, but faith is something that is active right now in your life. You can be free from the hassles of life. You can walk away from addictions. You can turn away from a life of depression and oppression. And you can go free and be happy and full of joy when you understand that faith now is, my God shall deliver me. He says, you shall know the truth. And with John 8, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. When? Someday? How about now? Right? Right this second, right now. How about walking it out and applying it right now? You might say, well, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You know, remember Thomas. Thomas was one of the disciples that were not on the scene when Jesus first appeared to his disciples in the upper room. Right? They're all up in the upper room, afraid, behind locked doors. Jesus walks right through the doors and presents himself alive. And he shows them, you know, the scars in his hands. And they were like all freaking out. Wow, this is awesome. This is Jesus. So they go and they tell Thomas, who wasn't there. Thomas says, that's where we get the doubting Thomas. Thomas says, I'll believe it if I see it. You know? And sure enough, Jesus made sure that Thomas saw. He made a special visit for Thomas. And he showed Thomas. And he said this statement to him that many of you know. He said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You see, faith allows us to believe regardless of what we see. Regardless of what it looks like. Regardless, that's why I like unqualified faith. Faith that says it doesn't matter what my experience is. It doesn't matter what I process in my own mind. The Word of God says it, and that's it. And I believe it, and that's what I'm walking in. Amen? Yeah. And when we do that, we get to prophetically, we get to profound, to speak forth and to act forth the very actions and Word of God in our lives, and we get to walk out this thing. We don't just sit back and watch. You know, there was a group of people when Joshua was taking the children of Israel finally into the promised land. There were two tribes that said, we'll just stay here. We're fine. And so Joshua said, you're just going to sit there while the rest of your people go to war? You're just going to sit there? You're just going to sit back and do nothing? He said, no, that's not what God wants. You see? And oftentimes we just want to sit and wait for God. But that's not how God has it. God says that you are heirs to this kingdom, that you are ambassadors, that I'm bestowing a kingdom on you just as the Father has bestowed one on me. And he said, you know, I'm going to the Father, you know, and since I am, the works that you see me do, who's going to do it? You're going to do it. And even greater works. You know, that tells me, yeah, some people say, well, I'm going to do great work, greater than Jesus, the Son of God. You know, I believe it means you're going to do even more. You know, we get the opportunity to express the Word of God, walk in the Word of God, make it alive in our lives every day, grab a hold of the things of God, own it for yourself, and walk in it. And don't accept the no. Don't accept, you know, just the norm. We've got a God that's alive in our lives. A God that answers prayer. Right? A God that, you know, I have a nephew who is 35 years old. And everything seemed fine. He was very successful. He's a chef and has restaurants and stuff. Neat guy. Loves the Lord. Has young kids. Falls over and he has this, I don't know, thing in his brain stem. He has a bleeding brain stem. I looked it up on the internet. You know, WebMD is a great thing, you know. But it doesn't have good news there. You know, when people have what he had, they don't live. So what are we going to believe, that or the Word of God? Well, my nephew Mark is back in his restaurant cooking today. Amen? And because we believe the Word of God. We went up there, and every time we went up there, and the doctors were saying, well, this and that. We'd lay hands on him and pray. And almost immediately, you'd see a difference in all of his readings, all of his vital signs. Almost immediately. I mean, it was so profound. And I've seen a lot. You know, I remember one day I was home, and I had the flu. And it was bad. You know, I was getting rid of stuff every different way. That's enough? Okay. I could describe it, no. And Lord, let me be free. No. Anyway, I get a phone call, and it's somebody in the church saying, "My brother fell over. He was rushed to the hospital. They'd say he's not going to live." So immediately, I was sick. I was going to call one of the elders to go, but I heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of God. See, don't be worried when people say they hear the voice of God. It's our inheritance. It really is. Let it be common amongst you. But anyway, I heard the Lord just impart to my heart, "You go." Lord, I'm on the, you know. So I get myself up, and I didn't look very good. And I got in the car, and I had to stop several times along the way. I get into LGH, Lancaster General Hospital down there, park in the parking lot up top, got out and had to, anyway, you know, stuff came out again. Walked into the ER, and I walked in, I said, "Where is so-and-so?" "Well, he's in there." And they had people around him and doctors in there and things going off, alarms going off, and I didn't say anything to anybody. I just walked in. Lay hands on him, rebuke the spirit of death. Father, heal him, touch him in the name of Jesus. I walked back out, you know, had to stop several times on the way home again. Got back on the couch, got a phone call. He's going home. Amen? You see, they tell me later what happened was his aorta to his heart broke away. And they said that, you know, they brought him in there just for, you know, to be nice to people. But they say once, you know, he was gone before he even got in there. But God had another, he had something more to say about it, right? He had another idea, right? And we walk in and we believe and we trust God. That's the God that we serve. That's the type of walking out what we believe. You know, the word says that if two or more asking together, let me get that scripture. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." This whole thing about agreement. Amos says, in the book of Amos, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And we're talking about walking with God. But in agreement, it says, if two or more will just agree on it, it'll be done. This whole thing about agreement. And this is where I'm going to close here soon, and this is where I want to apply it to Life Tree Church. This is what I felt as we were worshiping there. That's what the Lord brought to my heart. And this whole thing about agreement. And I'd like you all to consider with me coming into agreement together for what God wants for Life Tree. How many know God has a plan for Life Tree? He really does. He has a plan. And it's not about man's plan. It's not about, you know, what Don or Pastor Don or Dave or Robert or others or Joe or anybody can do or make happen. You know, what we do in the churches that we relate to is we have this concept, you know, is that we try to discern what God desires and wants to do. And we try to be stewards of God's house. And I believe that's what you have here. But being in agreement, you know, agreeing that Life Tree is a good church. Amen. That Life Tree is a growing, healthy church. Now, how can I say that? Because Jesus says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. That's what he says. And the scripture says, unless the Lord builds a house, those that labor in vain. And I believe in talking and hearing the hearts of your leadership here, that they believe that. They want God to build a house. They're not building, they're not trying to build a name for anybody or build a reputation or build a ministry for themselves. They're just about, God, what do you want to do here? That's what we want. We want to be free to hear your voice, walk in what you have, and create a community that we can live in faith, grab a hold of the things of God, make it a reality in our lives, see the glory of God. That's what it's all about. Amen? But we've got to bring our hearts in agreement. You see, because unless you really agree, unless you're really willing to walk it out, unless you're really, you know, in your heart agree and say, this is what I believe, and you walk it out by faith, you look around and say, well, there's less people than there used to be. It's not about what you see. It's about what you know in your heart, that my God is building his church. Amen? And the power of the gospel. I believe when people hear the gospel, that they by faith can believe and they can receive and be transformed, right? Translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. I'm telling you, there's been a renewed understanding of that in my heart. I've seen it. You know, we've seen over 50 young adults caught in a culture living on the street, drugs, homosexuality, all of these things that we say, blah, we don't want anything to do with. But I've watched them as they've heard the gospel, given their hearts to the Lord, and being changed and transformed and renewed. I'm telling you, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When they hear about the cross and they hear about the what Jesus has done for them and their ability to walk in agreement with that and walk in a new life because of what Christ has given them, I'm telling you, it can transform lives, and it does all the time. Amen? The gospel, the word of God is still powerful today. And we can trust in that. We can hope in that. We can believe in that. We can stand in agreement and watch what God will do. But the agreement I feel that the Lord wants you to have today as believers in this church is that, one, this is a good church. Two, God has something for all of us here. That I can receive what God has for me right here. I believe it. I believe it. And I'm gonna walk it out. I'm going to be there. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to walk in it. You see? This is a good place. This is a healthy place. And three, that Life Tree is alive and growing and doing well. You might say, well, wait a minute. That's not, again, it's not about what you see. You take it by faith and you agree and you walk in it and you let God do what God does. Amen? You don't want an organization that man builds. I don't. I know of a few, and I've got friends that have them, and they're big, and they're huge, and they're awesome. It's like, wow, that's a lot of work. For what? You know, I had one. I had a big company, you know, before the Lord removed me from that. I went all over the world, you know. And I'm not about building a big organization, but I'm about building the kingdom. And as the Lord builds it, we've got to be stewards of it. Amen? And the Lord will build. The Lord will build. And the other thing about agreeing, okay, it's a good place. I can be fed and grow here. And the next one is what? Good place. I can grow here. It's a growing place. I can. Anyway, we're going to wait. Because I had it and it left. But we're going to be in agreement. And we're going to agree together. Because the Word of God says there's power in that agreement. You see? There's power in that agreement. There's an ability to see it happen. You know, just as John the Baptist, before he saw it happen, he did it. And just same thing with us. We're going to walk it out by faith. And before we see it happen, we're going to walk it, we're going to live it, we're going to believe it, and we're going to know that we're going to see what God has for Life Tree Church. So I would like you all, if you are in agreement with me, okay? I believe this because I believe it's what God put on my heart. If you're in agreement with me, I'd like you to stand. That's easy, right? Praise God. And if you don't feel like standing, that's right. We're not going to condemn you. Don't worry. We're not going to send somebody after you. All right. Father, you see all of these people standing. Father, your word says, if two or more agree and ask, that you will do it. That it will happen. And so, Lord, right now we pray for Life Tree. We pray, Lord, that you would build. God, your word says that you'll build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, Lord, we agree that you are the one building, that you are the master builder. Lord, we agree, Lord, that this is a good place and this is a growing place because it's your place. Lord, we agree that we can receive what we need here and that we can be part, Lord, of your body right here at Life Tree. And Lord, as you see these members standing up in agreement, Lord, God, according to your word, you said that it is done. And so, Lord, I thank you for empowering us to walk this out in reality each and every day. Lord, as we speak to people around, Life Tree is awesome. It is doing well. It is growing. It is flourishing. It is moving in the things of God. It is moving in the things of God. That was the next one. It is moving in the things of God. And Lord, we agree with this in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. We thank you for doing it. Just begin to thank him for doing it. Just thank him. I believe it, Lord. I believe, Lord, that you're building your church. I believe, Lord, that you're filling this place back up, Lord, with believers that are in agreement, Lord. I believe that in Jesus' name. And I also believe, God, that you, Lord, are turning back every voice of the enemy that's speaking negativity, Lord, that is coming against what you're doing here, Lord. God, I speak your blessing over those that are speaking those things. You love them. You gave your blood for them. And Lord, we bless them. But Lord, we stop that word. We rebuke that word, Lord, that has come forth, Lord, to tear down what you're doing. And God, we ask that you turn it around, Lord, and you would bring reconciliation where it needs to be. But God, we are agreeing that we're moving forward and Life Tree is living and alive and vibrant. And the presence of God is here. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. How many this morning can say that's the kind of faith I want? That's the kind of faith I want. I want to walk it out. I want to live it. I want to experience it right now. Right now. Father, just hold your hands up if you would. Father, you can see the hands that are up. They're saying, Lord, that's what we want. That's what we're going after, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to work in our hearts, Lord, and to let your word come alive in such a way, Lord, that Rhema word, the now word of God, will come alive in our lives, Lord, that we will hear your voice clearly, Lord, that word will increase our faith, that we can walk out, Lord, and express and live, even if we don't see it, it's the word of God and we believe it. And Lord, I just thank you for that, Lord. I stir up your gift within your each one, Lord. I stir up that gift of faith that you've placed in each of our hearts, Lord, to believe you, to trust you, to know you. In Jesus' name. Is there someone here today that's been struggling with a physical condition? Struggling with it, just fighting with it, whatever? Do you mind coming up for prayer? I just really believe that the Lord wants to touch you today. Because now faith is. Amen? Now it is. Just come on up and we'll just have a time for prayer with these that have answered that. Praise you, God. If you'd like to have music or whatever you want to do, normally do, we're going to have prayer time. I believe once we pray for those that have come up here, give us a few minutes. And those that would like prayer for any other reason, you just want more of God, you want an increase of faith, we will pray with you and believe with you. But give us a few moments here, okay?